LAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the U.S. will impose reciprocal tariffs on its trade partners. President Trump says each country will be looked at, and those with the highest duties on U.S. goods will have tariffs imposed first. The president hosting India's prime minister this afternoon at the White House, both talking trade.
They're going to be purchasing a lot of our oil and gas. We have more oil and gas than any other country in the world by far, and they need it, and we have it.
Earlier, the president participated in the swearing-in ceremony of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. after the Senate confirmed his nomination to lead Health and Human Services. A strong storm targeting the West Coast. Authorities near Portland, Oregon say whiteout conditions led to a 100-vehicle pileup today. In Southern California, flooding is the threat for burn-scarred areas devastated by wildfires last month. A kayaker in Chile has survived after a whale briefly swallowed him, he says, in the Strait of Magellan. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison say their new study found softshell helmet covers do not reduce concussions for high school football players. The report was published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine and evaluated over 2,600 Wisconsin football players. Their data found 64 reported concussions during the 2023 season, 33 of which were sustained by players wearing the softshell helmets and 31 by players not wearing the helmets. Previous studies suggested the softer padding could reduce impact to the head. Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz has denied a request to recuse herself from the case challenging the constitutionality of Act 10. Justice Protasiewicz had previously expressed her belief that Act 10 was unconstitutional when campaigning for the seat, but says she can act impartially in the case. Conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn did recuse himself from the case after helping former Governor Scott Walker write the law. The Dane County ruling found that Act 10 violated equal protection guarantees for public employees. The Sawyer County Public Safety Committee has voted to approve a nearly $3 million upgrade to its public safety radio system. At their meeting last week, the committee recommended that the county board authorize about $2.8 million for upgrades to the system that handles the region's emergency services. The upgrades would include new tower locations and equipment to improve radio coverage across the county. The full Sawyer County Board is expected to consider the proposal at their meeting next Thursday. Aspirus St. Luke's abruptly announced the closure of a downtown Duluth clinic this week. According to organization officials, the Aspirus Clinic on East Superior Street will be closed and patients will start being seen at other locations on March 17th. They also say the organization is planning to retain all of the staff members at the clinic and transition them to other locations in the area. Organization officials say the move will improve their efficiency and collaboration, but did not provide an explanation as to how they decided to close the clinic. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks head into the All-Star break with a victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks win a close one in Minnesota, 103-101 against the Timberwolves. Damian Lillard was out with a hamstring. Giannis still out with a calf muscle injury. And so that left center Brooke Lopez and several new players to battle for the win.
You know, we had a nice mix out there. So it's great to just see everyone feel each other out, you know, get a good sense of who we are. But, you know, when it boiled down to it, we just had each other's back. We were communicating. We were making the right plays. We were playing with energy. And it was just a great win to have going forward.
Baseball. The Brewers signed Rays left-hander Tyler Alexander to a one-year deal. NFL, the Packers went into this season without a true number one receiver. So how did that work out? Jordan Love.
There's definitely, I think, areas that we need to focus on and improve on to get better, kind of get over the hump that we hit this year, and just get more consistent, focus on the details.
That's the Packers' Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, cold, a low of 0 to 5 below. For tomorrow, a cloudy sky with snow showers developing in the afternoon, a high in the low 20s. Accumulations of 2 to 5 inches by the time we look into Saturday morning. Winter weather advisories in effect. Currently, it's 6.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo, talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Let's rock some local music this weekend on Max Inc. Join us as we welcome Kaylin Cole and Lexi Liu, plus Yanni and Rocker will stop in for a visit. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday evenings at 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home.
Broadcasting
for Matt
and Air
across
the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. But you can do more than that. You can be a part. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. It's the phone line. It's a text line. And love it when you are a part of this fine production. Jess P.S. working hard on the board. We're going to get some national topics this hour. And of course, don't forget the end of the show. We like to wrap it up with, tell us something good. Give you plenty of time to prepare. I kind of forget about it sometimes. But at the end of the show, at 5:50, we're going to talk about something good. End the day on a positive note. I kind of touched on this topic a little bit yesterday. I want to dive a little bit more into it because there's been some interesting reporting and statistics out that I think kind of accentuates the point. NBC News is reporting when the pain hits home, Republicans balk at Trump's spending cuts and tariffs from Weird how that works, right? Which it just stopped the blue state. You know, keep the money coming over here. From reducing NIH funding to slashing U.S. AIDS food program to imposing new tariffs, GOP lawmakers are beginning to speak out carefully against some of Trump's actions. Well, and I think carefully, perhaps, given who you're dealing with, but your constituents, it really should be the ones that you are worried about. A little bit from the reporting here, as mentioned, from cuts to health care and agriculture funding to fears of new tariffs negatively impacting local industries and consumers, Republican lawmakers starting to push back against certain aspects of Trump's plans. Yeah, when it affects their states. And they are doing so carefully, acknowledging that voters want to shake up business as usual in the nation's capital and wanting to avoid Trump's ire.
Oh, excuse me. I thought you were just going to shake things up in Washington. I didn't think it was going to affect me.
May I have some more?
Please.
Please, sir. May I have some more?
And shaking up business as usual. And then when I see that and I hear that, I get that. Do you know what that means, though? That's the thing. Okay.
No.
As business as usual. Well, if the NIH and the USA and the tariffs and all these things that we are currently in, it was business as usual and Trump is doing these things to change them, certainly that's changing business as usual. But what did you think was going to happen? Well, now it's going to perhaps affect you. We mentioned Senator Katie Britt from Alabama yesterday. She recently pushed back on the administration's funding reductions under the NIH. The University of Alabama at Birmingham is a major recipient of that money, which has helped make it the state's largest employer. What? A woke-ass university edumacating people is the state's largest employer? Are you kidding me? Alabama? Wow.
Dub, I didn't think the leopards would eat my face.
Right. Britt told AL.com that a smart, targeted approach is needed in order to not hinder life-saving, groundbreaking research at high-achieving institutions like those in Alabama.
That's not usually a sentence I hear.
No, I know. It's like when you think of like, oh, the smartest people ever, the great education system in Alabama. It's not something
isn't
that...
Isn't Alabama like 48th?
I think they're like 51st, but... That includes Canada. No, I'm just kidding. But wait, there's more. Republican Senator Susan Collins from Maine said a cap on indirect costs under the NIH grants were poorly conceived and would impose arbitrary cuts in funding for vital research at our Maine institutions. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, we got like, what, $65 million at the University of Madison.
That's correct.
That would be on the hook.
Is Senator Collins concerned?
Well, she's concerned about Maine, and Senator Britt is apparently concerned about Alabama, and we're concerned here, as I heard Governor Tony Evers talk about the $65 million that apparently Assembly Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says, ah, too bad, so sad.
Yeah, did see something about that.
Yeah, suck it up. But let's stay on the Republicans now. So we got Alabama, the Republicans in Alabama. We got the Republican senator in Maine. Oh, another one. Senator Bill Cassidy from Louisiana warned that universities that cut big endowments would lose out on the most due to the NIH cuts. Quote, it'll be very difficult for them to conduct this research. And so, of course, I want people in Louisiana to benefit from research dollars and for it to not all go to Massachusetts and California, Cassidy said. So I am in active conversation with my folks back home and am researching the issue. Weird. Everybody wants that money to come to their state and not the all the other states. It's
What I haven't heard, though? I haven't heard any senators, any lawmakers, any governors of blue states saying, hey, give us the money. And don't give it to the red states.
Right, right.
It's been, hey, don't take any of our research funding because we all do better when we all do better.
Everybody, and that's Republican states and Democratic state. That's why we have the business as usual the way they have it. You don't have somebody like Elon Musk or Donald Trump, you know, picking and choosing. Yes, Alabama, you get it, and Madison, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be wrong. I think that would be wrong. But here's some of the statistics I referenced earlier from, once again, NBC News. Among the top 20 states that take more money from the federal government than they send in tax payments, among the top 20, 13 are solidly red states that voted for Trump in the last three elections, according to an analysis by the Rockefeller Institute of Government of the fiscal 2024 budget. Of the top 20 states that take more money than from the federal government than they put in, 13 of them are solidly red states.
Interesting.
Meanwhile, the top five states and nine of the top 10 that send more money to the Treasury Department than they receive back voted for Democrats in the last three presidential elections.
Fascinating.
I'm going to say that again for Eric Hovde. He had to listen last hour. He got to talk slow for the man. He lost his mustache. The top five states and nine of the top 10 that send more money to the Treasury than they receive voted for Democrats in the last three presidential elections. And to your point, Jess, you don't hear those five states and the nine of the 10 saying stop sending money to the red states.
No.
You don't hear that.
And you're not gonna.
Another imperative for Republicans in rural areas is to protect farmers who rely on the federal government as a major customer. We talked about the federal, the farmers not so long ago. The Triple C Act, this New Deal era that Donald Trump tapped into when he got in the trade war last time with China and they stopped buying out billions of dollars in agriculture. Well, he went to the CCC, I forget what it stands for, but and this thing has like unlimited money. You can just take what you want out of it because it's for agriculture. It's very important. Of course, food is important, some say.
Some say.
Donald Trump, when he was losing that last tariff war, trade war, tapped into that and gave those farmers, what, $16 billion plus another $12 billion, $28
billion. $28
billion. Total. Not a bailout, just cash check. There you go. So as NBC references, yes, it's also imperative that the Republicans protect the farmers who rely on the federal government as major customer.
It's imperative on all of us.
The U.S. Agency for International Development, which Trump and billionaire advisor Elon Musk have targeted for dismantling, administers the Food for Peace program, under which the government buys and distributes American crops to help fight hunger around the world. I mean, can you get more woke than fighting hunger around the world? What about hunger here at home? I mean, have you seen Trump? Doesn't look like he missed a meal. A coalition of Republicans in rural states and districts, including the House Agriculture Committee Chair Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania, introduced legislation this week to save the Food for Peace program by transferring it to the Department of Agriculture. Again, sliding it over from one spot to another. Don't know if that really accomplishes what you think it's going to accomplish, but a quote from Rep. Tracy Mann, a Republican from Kansas. For 70 years, Kansas and American farmers have played an active role in sending their commodities to feed malnourished and starving populations around the world. Wait, there's a Republican saying that? Why would you do that? Sounds pretty woke. What a waste of money. This free gift from the American people is more than food. It's diplomacy and feeds the most vulnerable communities. Rep. Tracy Mann, a Republican from Kansas, said. That doesn't sound very Republican.
No, but you know what that does sound like? That sounds like exactly what Jim Santel was talking about when he was on last Friday, talking about his own experiences with USAID. That this is about more than just food. This is diplomacy.
Soft power.
Soft power. Yeah, yeah. And it's also supporting our agricultural businesses here.
Right, which we need to do, which we're already doing. What are you going to pay the farmers to make the food and throw it out? Well, that's what Trump's
doing right now.
That's what he's doing right now. Like $500 million is going to rot in the warehouses because why? Because Trump said so? A little more here. Mann, the aforementioned Republican from Kansas, whose office said the program has fed more than 4 billion people in more than 150 countries, introduced a bill with Thompson and a couple other reps. The Trump tariffs have also ruffled feathers among some of his otherwise solid allies on Capitol Hill. Chuck Grassley, Republican senator from Tennessee, the Senate pro tem and chair of the Judiciary Committee, who protested when Trump threatened to levy tariffs on imports from Canada. Citing Biden inflation, unless you mean Biden inflation, noted the high cost of fertilizer, asked for an exemption that protects Iowa farmers. I plead with President Trump to exempt potash from the tariff because family farmers get most of our potash from Canada, he wrote on X. I'm a free and fair trader, and the president was elected on a proposition of trying tariffs out. If they're for negotiation, we'll see how they work. If they work, I'll applaud him. If they don't work, I'll tell you I told you so. Well, how does that... Grassley, how does that help your constituents one iota?
It don't.
I told you so. Vote for me. Jesus. Kentucky's two Republican senators, Mitch McConnell, who's apparently getting some, I don't know, backbone in his old age.
No, he's not.
No,
it's performative on votes that he knows are going to pass.
Then why do it at all? I mean, what? Is he seeing his maker say, oh, Lord, look what I did on that one. Kentucky's two Republicans, Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul, have also objected to the tariffs, warning that they'll drive up costs for Americans, including Kentuckians, because, of course, those guys, those are the most important Americans. In an opinion piece Wednesday for the Louisville Courier-Journal, McConnell warned that slapping tariffs could have negative consequences for our state's 75,000 family farms and sell their crops around the globe.
Thanks, Turtle Man.
Or the hardworking Kentuckians who craft 95% of the world's bourbon, or our auto industry. Oh, yeah, the auto industry. We're going to talk about that next. McConnell wrote, in Kentucky, local store owners are already hearing about the suppliers' prices going up. One estimate suggests that president's tariffs could cost the average Kentuckian up to $1,200 each year. And it's not just about rising prices here at home. During the last Trump administration, retaliatory tariffs from trade partners set off a broader trade war that hit wide swaths of American industry, from agriculture to manufacturing to aerospace and motor vehicles to distilled spirits, bourbon. Already, Canada announced retaliatory measures that take direct aim at Kentucky's production, targeting products like peanut butter and whiskey. A little more from Rand Paul. We'll get to that as well. These are Republicans that are all down with Donald Trump and Doge and Elon Musk, except when it comes to their states. Because they know. Republicans know. Their constituents, you better know. 855-752-4842. Going to come back. More of this and your calls as well.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Eyes iZervay is proven to slow GA progression.
iZervay gets GA going slower.
iZervay or Avacincaptad Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZervay today.
iZervay gets GA going slower.
Visit iZervay.com. That's iZervay.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improved their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Just PS working hard on the board, DJing the tunes. Take a number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. That's the only number you need to know, at least until 6 o'clock. Also, coming up in the last segment of the day, tell us something good. We're going to wrap this day up on a positive note. We love to do that round here. We're talking about Republicans apparently down for the Doge, down for the cuts, down for stopping business as usual so long as it doesn't impact their states. So some of the states, as mentioned, was Kentucky, I believe. We got Kansas out there as well. There's
Louisiana,
Iowa, Alabama, the Republicans in those states, all on the record for wanting to, you know, maybe not go so as fast and make sure we fund these very important measures here in our states. We talked about Kentucky, Grassley specifically. Also, we didn't get to Rand Paul. Here's what he had to say, quote, this is another senator from Kentucky. We won the last election by complaining about Democrats' policies, which gave us high prices. Tariff lovers will be forced to explain the persistence of high prices, he said on X.
And the increased prices.
And prices are going up. And finally, a Democrat quoted here in the NBC article, Senator Patty Murray from Washington, the vice chair of the Appropriations Committee that oversees government funding, said Trump should go about his attempts to slash or freeze money in a different way by winning congressional approval first. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Now, my understanding, some of the Republicans seemingly having their ducks in a row. We'll maybe get to that next week if they actually pass something in the House. Senate Republicans have their own ideas as well under Senator Graham, but I digress. Patty Murray, the Democrat from Washington, said this. Running farmers out of business, derailing infrastructure projects, cutting cancer research, and killing good-paying clean energy jobs isn't just unpopular. It's devastating for working people everywhere. And it is time Trump reverses his illegal funding freeze and Doge cuts in their entirety. Murray told NBC News, Trump's policies are hurting communities and families in red states and blue states. If Trump and Elon want to cut funding for cancer research and infrastructure projects, they need to send us a proposal and try to win the votes in Congress to do it. Amen, Patty Murray. Mitch McConnell in his op-ed the other day, you know, lamenting the policies of his guy. brought up the whiskey, the bourbon in Kentucky, and he also mentioned the auto industry. Yeah, the auto industry. Let me go over to this one here quickly, then we'll take your calls, 855-752-4842. The CEO of Ford, that's Ford Motor Company, or as the folks used to call it, Ford's. The CEO of Ford has warned. My aunt worked at Ford. You know, from the Michigan. I was from the Detroit area. Yeah. A lot of my family worked in. How do you not, man? I mean, it's Motown. A lot of people, if you're not for the big three or the big five or all the suppliers, man, I mean, it is Motown for a reason. Now, the CEO of Ford has warned that Trump's economic policies could mean layoffs are coming to four states that voted for him. Again, Jim Farley, the CEO of Ford, said Tuesday that tariffs across America, North America, could wreck the automotive industry. Let's be real honest. Long term, a 25% tariff across the Mexico and Canada borders would blow a hole in the U.S. industry that we've never seen. Frankly, it gives free rein to South Korean, Japanese, and European companies that are bringing 1.5 to 2 million vehicles into the U.S. that wouldn't be subject to those Mexican and Canadian tariffs. It would be one of the biggest windfalls for those companies ever. Damn. He added that if Trump rolls back parts of the Inflation Reduction Act, Ford could need to lay off people working on electric vehicle production. The Trump administration has also undone Biden-era electric vehicle policy. Here's what the CEO of Ford went on to say. We've already sunk capital, even though we've rationalized it, into battery production and assembly plants all through Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Tennessee. Many of those jobs would be at risk if big parts of the IRA are repealed. These four states supported Trump in 2024, as mentioned. And so far, Trump's economic policies have shown little regard for those who voted to put him in office. Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, the man's a narcissist, doesn't care about anybody except himself. So if you were expecting some leniency, some grace from Trump, you ain't getting it.
No.
Trump, Farley said, has talked a lot about making our U.S. auto industry stronger, bringing more production here and innovation to the U.S., but so far what we're seeing is a lot of costs and a lot of chaos. Oh, damn. Jack Ewing from the New York Times. Huh. Farley's remarks at the conference offered a rare example of a corporate executive calling into question Mr. Trump's policies or statements. In most cases, executives have either offered praise or kept quiet, apparently out of fear that they could prompt reprisals from the president. Earlier this week, Trump signed an order increasing taxes on steel and aluminum imports. This could hurt American auto manufacturers and their products more costly. Finally, Sam Fiorani from Auto Forecast Solutions said steel producers have to find ways to increase capacity, and aluminum and steel might be in short supply in the short term. Producing vehicles has a lot of moving parts, and raising the price of what is among the most important components of the vehicle is only going to raise the price of an already expensive product.
You're telling me that you need aluminum and steel to make cars?
Wow, right?
Huh. Weird.
You know, my lease is up on the Jeep coming up next month. So I have an appointment today to go look at something. I found a car online. You know, I got to stop at the dealership and check it out. It's a Dodge brand. But this particular Dodge is, which is owned Dodge and Jeep and Chrysler and Alfa Romeo. These are all owned by Stellantis, right?
Is that an American company?
Not really, no.
No, okay, correct.
In this particular vehicle, the Dodge Dart is literally made in I think Poland and Italy. The engine's made in Poland. The vehicle's assembled and created and made in Italy. Well, they're not going to have, at least as of right now, that these tariffs going on. So, yeah, as to the CEO Ford's point, you buy some European vehicles, you buy a North Korean vehicle, you're gonna have to get around this. So it's going to create more opportunities for them. Again, this is changing up business as usual, ? Yeah. Everything's going to get more expensive. Your cars are going to get more expensive. They're not going to get cheaper. And it doesn't matter if you're from a red state or a blue state. Of course, you Reds, you voted for this. Come back with us. More of your calls, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for experienced hunters to mentor new ones. According to a press release, volunteer opportunities include mentoring a novice hunter, teaching in a classroom through hunter education programs, or helping with outdoor skills workshops and special youth hunts. Officials are hoping volunteers can help new hunters enjoy the sport in a safe and ethical way and pass down some useful outdoor skills. Anyone interested in volunteering can find more information on the program on the DNR's website. A pair of state Republicans are pushing for more nuclear power in Wisconsin. State Representative David Steffen and State Senator Julian Bradley each chair committees relating to energy and utilities and have introduced a resolution calling on the state legislature to publicly support nuclear power and fusion energy. They are also proposing a study to identify potential locations around the state that could become nuclear power plants. There is already one active nuclear power plant in Wisconsin located in Two Rivers. A competency hearing has been scheduled for the Rice Lake woman accused of assaulting a police officer while resisting arrest over an allegedly stolen turkey. According to court documents, 32-year-old Melanie Munt will be evaluated in March to determine if she is competent to stand trial. She's facing a maximum penalty of up to 6 years in prison and a $10,000 fine if convicted on one felony charge and three misdemeanor charges. The alleged assault occurred on January 24th at an apartment complex in Rice Lake. Families interested in getting into fishing will have a chance in Hayward this weekend. Wild Rivers Conservancy plans to hold a family Learn to Fish event on Sunday from 10:30 a.m. to noon. The event will take place at the Lake Hayward Boat Landing near the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. Participants can learn how to properly use different kinds of equipment and identify different types of fish, as well as learning all the necessary fishing rules and regulations. Participants over 16 years old will need to bring a valid fishing license. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Super Bowl 59 set a record in ad sale revenues. According to Variety, Fox Corporation pulled in more than $800 million between all the Super Bowl viewing platforms. The asking price for ads was $7 million for 30 seconds, and that went up to $8 million as the game got closer. Fox reports that this is about $150 million more than 2023, the last time they covered the Super Bowl. The game was also the most watched and streamed Super Bowl ever, with over 14 million viewers watching the game on Tubi. Thank goodness Netflix had nothing to do with this broadcast. Presenters for this year's Oscar broadcast have been announced. In addition to last year's winners, Cillian Murphy, Robert Downey Jr., Emma Stone, and Davine Joy Randolph, 2025 presenters will also include Halle Berry, Penelope Cruz, Scarlett Johansson, Elle Fanning, John Lithgow, and Amy Poehler. This year's ceremony will be hosted by Conan O'Brien and takes place March 2nd. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, cold, a low of 0 to 5 below. For tomorrow, a cloudy sky with snow showers developing in the afternoon, a high in the low 20s. Accumulations of 2 to 5 inches by the time we look into Saturday morning. Winter weather advisories in effect. It's 5 right now.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This week on The Rational Revolution, our dear friend Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner brings Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about January 6th.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker. Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, just PS on the board, spinning the hits for you. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Creep Show, love it. 855-75-CIVIC, going to get to some callers and some texters and perhaps just a little bit more. I mean, if you see the kind of the trend here, everyone's down, like the Republicans are all down for shaking things up and stopping business as usual, stopping the fraud, corruption, and abuse, and all those things, except when it comes to their own states, except when it comes to their state's industries, the bourbon, the automobiles, the agriculture, right? Then it becomes a problem.
Well, they didn't vote for them to feel waves. They didn't vote for the organizations and the companies in their state to feel any degree of pain. It was all to own the libs.
Owning the libs. And if this, you know, goes out, and we see this already, it's only a few weeks in. This is only a few weeks in. And these are Republican senators from red states.
Are we still not yet 3 weeks?
I mean, this is the third. I think this is the third, right?
Oh, yeah. God.
I know. It's going to be long. 855-752-4842. But there's also, you know, this budget that's coming up. We're talking about, you know, slashing billions of dollars from Medicaid. And a little bit here, and then we'll take the calls at 855-75-CIVIC. Republicans have made slashing hundreds of billions of dollars from Medicaid a core part of their plan to pay for the tax cuts for the rich. I mean, come on.
Money's got to come from somewhere.
I mean, so how about just not do the tax cuts? And then you can still go after waste, fraud, and abuse. Don't do the tax cuts. You know, let the taxes go up on the very rich. Oh, well. And those of us that got a little bitty bit, because most of it went to the very rich. They could pay a little more. Well, maybe, you know, if we're all going to pay a little more anyway. I mean, it's amazing how we have to accept this, right? Mm-hmm. The Republicans are lamenting the fact, and Donald Trump has even said today, yeah, it's going to things could potentially cost a little more. Well, what is a tax? Tax. It's money out of your pocket.
Correct.
The cost of life is a little bit more expensive. That's unacceptable under this administration because you got to have tax cuts, which, you know, keeps money in your pocket. But what? The increases on the goods and the services are going to go up. That's going to be money out of your pocket. So instead of playing this game, how about we just let the tax cuts expire? Because remember when they passed them, they didn't make them permanent. They made them expire, which, of course, added trillions of dollars to the national debt back then. And certainly will, if they don't do these tax cuts, expense cuts going forward, add more to the debt. Well, if you don't mess with that side of the equation, then you don't have to mess with the other side of the equation as much. You could focus certainly still on waste, fraud, and abuse, but spending money on a product that the righties don't like or on a service that the righties don't like USA, but apparently some righties like it because it helps out their farmers and it feeds billions of people, according to the Republicans we were quoting today. So if you don't mess with it, if you're not so concerned about doing Donald Trump's extending these tax cuts and just letting them expire as the original legislation written, as it was written, would happen, mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about cutting billions of dollars out of Medicaid. A little bit more from this. And making cuts, as Republicans, could be harder than they anticipate. This is from Joanne Keenan at Politico. She said, Medicaid has evolved and expanded significantly over the years and its constituency has expanded along with it. Some 80 million people now get health care from Medicaid, including many working class voters in the president's base. Let me repeat that from Politico. Some 80 million people now get health care from Medicaid, including many working class voters in the president's base. All this, people are going to work for the Medicaid. Yeah, a lot of people are working and they're still on Medicaid. And what that tells you is that the wages aren't high enough. If you're working full time and you still qualify for Medicaid, mm-hmm. maybe we should work, if you want to work on an equation side, maybe we should work on increasing the pay for the workers, man. What does it say if you're working full time and you got to be on Medicare, a Medicaid for your health insurance? 80
that you live in America.
Man. Indeed, a number of states that backed Trump voted by popular referendum to expand the program, Medicaid, over the objections of their GOP legislators. In these states, Medicaid is often the main driver preventing rural hospitals from closing.
Yeah.
Damn! Right? You know the medical stuff here,
mm-hmm.
Jess.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Republicans famously attempted to repeal the ACA under Trump's term, and all their proposals featured drastic cuts to Medicaid. Public outrage over it at the time played a big role in the Democratic landslide elections in 2018. In fact, Keenan continued, Republicans may have gotten an ominous look at just how much blowback they stand to receive from even trying to cut Medicaid. Republicans have just gotten an alarming glimpse of the future. Amid the chaos of Trump's now rescinded domestic funding freeze, Medicaid portals across the country went offline, which meant states couldn't get their Medicaid dollars. It was something the administration said was never supposed to happen, and which provoked public outrage and a bipartisan outcry. Yeah, there's Republicans on Medicaid.
Indeed.
There's Republicans on the ACA.
A lot of them.
We're all in this together, man. Whether you like it or not, if you're going to try to screw someone, given the interconnectedness of existence on this earth and specifically in this country and maybe in your state and most definitely in your neighborhood, you can't get away from it. So what exactly are you trying to prove by shaking things up and changing things and making it different? I mean, I get it. We can look things up, but that's, let's have that go through the budgetary process.
That's right. We still have an actual procedure for how to change the allocation of monies in this country. Isn't that correct?
That is. And it's derived in the Congress, specifically in the House, which is closest to the people. They get elected for two-year terms. And folks, there'll be another election less than 2 years for those folks. And that's perhaps one of the reasons why this administration is trying to move so damn fast, because they know it's going to happen. If the Republicans in the House get their ducks in a row, they could actually get a budget done, which would have some of these cuts. We'll wait and see what happens. They still got to get through, even if they're able to make it all under reconciliation, which means it's a budgetary thing. You don't have to get through a 60-vote filibuster in the Senate. But they only have in the Senate, the Republicans only have two votes to lose. And Mitch McConnell apparently is very happy these days. I mean, Trump today was like questioning whether or not the dude had polio and was saying he's not there anymore. He's lost it. I mean, it's terrible the way they treat their own, man. You know what I mean? I mean, my God, he's doing stuff to Mitch McConnell he wouldn't do to a farm animal. I swear to God, it's not even right. 855-752.
You would know, you worked on a farm.
I always work on a farm. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I was 17 years old. I used to get up at 5 o'clock every morning to go milk the cows before school. Yes, it's true.
Imprinted so deep on your soul.
L.A. Tom, you are next. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us, man?
Hey, Dom. I hope the media just doesn't read their mea culpas and actually reads their votes. Because it's not what you say, it's what you do.
Amen, brother.
You can have these Republicans coming out now and trying to get the media to say, oh, no, not my state. BS. You just voted for Hegseth. You just voted for all of those people to get into different positions. You voted for OMB director, who is the head of Project 2025. I don't want to hear it. I want to hear the media hold their feet to the fire and not allow them to rechange the way that their vote actually was put out there. Their vote is what counts, not what they say to the media. Not the made-up commercial they're going to do for their next election. It needs to be the way they voted right from the get-go from this new legislative session.
I hear what you're saying, Tom, and I would like to think that I am holding them to account. And, NBC's reporting at least gives us the opportunity to bash them over the head with the hypocrisy and the statistics. The most, 13 out of the top 20 states that they give take more money than they give to the federal government voted red. And what, the top 5 and 9 out of the top 10 who receive less money than they give to the federal government voted blue. That, I think, is something that needs to be repeated over and over and over and over again. I honestly think, man, especially when you see when the Medicaid thing went down, some of these articles were referencing about the different industries in these states. Though I think there's genuine concern among these very, I'll call them short-sighted politicians, Tom, who decided to go this route. And I can't necessarily blame them. Of course you blame them. They decided what they want to do. But it's the constituents, man. It's the mega voters who voted for Mitch McConnell, who voted for Mann, who voted for Rand Paul, who voted for the Alabama Senator Britt. It is those voters who are voting against their own self-interest in some sort of weird attempt to rein in government spending when they're the biggest recipients of government spending. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So, Tom, I think there is going to be some genuine blowback, and it's going to be felt by, unfortunately, us citizens, blue and red, and independents, and those of us who didn't even bother to vote. And you'd be worried about the size of that population, because if all of a sudden they get active because a bunch of righties wanted to own the libs and stop government spending that supported their industries, their states, their institutions, right? And then go to foreign policy and stop the USA and our soft power and all those things. And man, there is going to be a reckoning for that. And we're 3 weeks in and they're already concerned about it. We were like a half a dozen states. You got the guy, the CEO of Ford saying, dude, what? I mean, these folks have made investments in Canada, in Mexico, based on NAFTA and then the USMCA. And then the guy that signed the USMCA now is just saying, oh, to hell with that. Tariff this, tariff that. It doesn't, there's no consistency. There's no logic to it. Now, if you think that tariffs are going to increase revenue to the government, well, who pays the tariffs? It's another tax on the consumers, yo. How many taxes you want? The price of things are going to go up, right? Your taxes are going to go down?
Maybe. I mean, the last time we had that huge batch of tax cuts, my taxes didn't go down a whole lot.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but, you know, Hovdees did. Jim from Appleton, 855-752-4842. You will be next. Appleton, my old stomping grounds.
One of them.
Welcome, Jim. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Tax cuts.
Yeah.
Republicans do it all the time. Tax cuts and government should be run like a business. All right?
Mm-hmm.
What business do you know voluntarily cuts their income?
Right.
I can't think of a single one that goes up and says, oh, I'm making too much money. I'm going to cut my income. But the Republicans all want to cut the income to the government that should be run like a business.
That is a fantastic point, Jim. Thank you for making it. Thank you for listening up in the Fox Valley. No one wants to cut the revenue. Man, if you're in business, if you're in your business, you're trying to make a profit on your product or your service, you know, you got a couple things you can do. You can try to increase revenues, right? And if all your expenses stay the same, that'll increase your profitability on the bottom line, right? The P&L statement. Or you can keep your revenues the same, but cut expenses. And also thereby, you know, put more money in your pocket. Or you can do a combination thereof. Man, I mean, there's only a few ways to do it, right? But of course, the government is not a business. It is not. This wasn't incorporated as an LLC. It doesn't have pass-through taxes. This is an attempt by a rebel group hundreds of years ago to appreciate, identify, and acknowledge the individual's liberty, the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness, right? That's what government should be about. And granted, and you have all sorts of different variables in that. But at the end of the day, it's about the people and about how we want to be governed and how we're going to govern ourselves, right? We don't want a king. We don't want an unelected special government employee. Hell, apparently, some Republican senators and congressmen don't even want Trump's cuts, although that's what they voted for and that's what their constituents voted for. But they're a little concerned about that. Come back with us, folks. Tell us something good. It's our last segment of the day. Hell, I don't know if you know this, but it's my last segment of the week. Jess, we're taking off tomorrow. We're going to do a best of tomorrow. That's something good.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to hear something good from you. 855-752-4842. End the day with a smile on your face. Share something happy and positive with our audience. 855-757. Coming back with your calls.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. But if you do, you got to tell us something good. That's how we roll.
Them's the rules.
That is the rule. That's how we wrap up the days these days. 855-75-CIVIC. Jess, how about you? You got something you want to share with the audience? Something good?
I always got something good. Let's see. This morning, I woke up and so... Frequently, I wake up with one of my two cats nestled either between my legs or as far into my butt as she can possibly get, depending on, you know, how I'm laying. And I was on my back, so she was between my legs and just nice and warm and lovely. And then my other cat, who is just a big orange dingbat, just comes in, starts walking all over me. But then he settled down on my chest, and I just spent 15 minutes just resting with my two cats, just enjoying it. I opened the shades so that I could see the tree that sort of hangs over by my window. And I could see the snow on it, and it was just peaceful.
Peaceful.
Beautiful.
Purring cats. It's hard to get away from cuddling purring cat.
Oh my God, it's so hard to get up when they're like that.
Like, if you can't sleep, just find a cat that's purring and just cuddle up. You'll eventually fall asleep.
You got something good?
Yeah. Number one, we're taking tomorrow off.
That's something good.
I can't wait.
It's Friday for us.
I know. Two Fridays in a row. I'm getting used to this, man. 4 days a week, 4 hours a day. That's all I got, man. I'm telling you.
Maximum efficiency.
That's right. That's right. Everything from there is diminishing returns. You know what I'm saying? But one of the reasons taking off tomorrow, heading up with my lovely to Door County. And we're renting a place with some friends of ours. One of my friends, Maggie Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to see her this weekend as well, spend some time together. You know, as friends, we don't get to hang out much. You know, we're both doing our things, and so when we get some time to hang out, it's pretty fun. So me and Steph and Maggie and Lizzie, another couple, are going to go up and hang out in Door County. Look forward to getting away and kind of unwinding a little bit. And It's kind of a drive up there, though. I mean, it's like 3 hours, three and a half hours. Yeah, we're going up to like Sister Bay. So,
okay, okay.
But it, also,
you got any plans? Or are you just going to shut out the world?
I am told what we're doing, and I just kind of follow along.
Good man.
I'll drive, but I'm not clear on the plans. I'm sure there'll be lots.
You'll find out.
Lots of food, lots of drink, lots of fun. It'll be good. There's an like outdoor hot tub, you know, like that kind of joint.
Outdoor hot tub, but when there's snow on the ground, there are a few things in this world that are better than that.
My understanding, we're supposed to get some more snow this weekend.
That is correct. Well, we're supposed to get some more snow starting tomorrow and apparently going through Sunday midday.
Damn. So you might get some of that beautiful snow, maybe be in a hot tub as the snow's coming down. There are worse things than that. 855-752-4842. Another thing. So taking tomorrow off, going up north with my wife and some friends. Going, as mentioned, going to go check out a car.
I
haven't gone to check out a car in a long, long time. And I used to like be that guy would hit the dealerships at night or on a Sunday when they're closed, you know, just go look at cars.
Just looking around.
I love cars, man. But what I don't like is like having to get a car. Because now I got a lease. I'm like way over on the miles, you know, I'm like 20,000 miles over this car. But, you know, life has changed. You know, you just kind of roll with it, you know, driving to Racine to do the show and all this. Mazda up in Appleton. It's like, okay, so I had a little more driving than I had anticipated when I initially got there. But I get to go check out some cars, which is always fun.
That's always really exciting.
Now, paying for them, that's the part that sucks. But
we
love checking out the cars. And, of course, my cousin Joe works at Stellantis. Mm-hmm. And so I get the good break.
Sweet.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about. And I got my son's studio shirt on here. You see this? Son's,
I do. Yeah.
This is when we went to Memphis. Steph and I, she'll take me on random trips sometimes. And we went down to Memphis and got an Airbnb. And I'm like, oh, this will be fun. You know, the Blues and Rivertown and hanging out. And as we were walking from our Airbnb to go like to a little closer to downtown, all of a sudden I realized, oh, damn. You know, there's... That sign looks familiar. That hotel. That's where Martin Luther King Jr. got shot. And it's a museum. So all of a sudden, I was all like, "Oh, this would be great." And all of a sudden, I got really depressed. I'm like, "Oh my god!" And it's still there. I mean, it is literally a museum. The cars are still there. The furniture, the whole thing. It
just frozen in time.
So I couldn't not go check that
absolutely
out.
Absolutely.
So we went there. As you can imagine, it's kind of tough to swallow when you think about the gravity of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then we went out afterwards and checked out this studio, this Sun Studios. Now, this is where a famous studio in Memphis where, like, Elvis recorded there and Johnny Cash and a bunch of folks. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it wasn't much, man. You know, you're like, oh, okay.
Same thing
with Motown. You know, you got in Detroit, you kind of walk in the joint like, oh, I can't believe all that just awesome music was made here. I mean, historic and stuff that changed the world, this kind of this music, right? And it's made in these little crappy rooms with this.
I know. We've got a better studio here.
No, for real. For real. So that was a lot of fun. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. You know, I'm a t-shirt guy.
I do know that.
As I got out and I got this fine Sun Studio t-shirt, we were, you know, I was rapping with the guy that was checking us out. And where are you from? No, we're Milwaukee. Oh, yeah, I'm playing up in Milwaukee, like, next week.
The Milwaukee connection.
No, I'm not even kidding you. Like, next week was, like, I think it was Brady Street Fest or one of the street festivals. We walked up. We saw the dude.
No,
here's a guy that sold me my t-shirt in Memphis. He just got done playing a set on Brady Street.
That's good.
Yeah, it was super fun. So, you know, it's a small, small world. So always remember that, man. It's always gonna be like that.
Thanks for telling us some good things.
Some good stuff. So, folks, have a wonderful night. Have a wonderful weekend. A best of tomorrow. What do we got? Mm-hmm. What's coming up?
Ooh, we got revisiting our talk with Josh Call. We got
Attorney
Bill
General
Press.
Call. Bill, okay.
Going back to that lovely, lovely sermon that the Reverend Buddy delivered.
Buddy that was
and then
great.
We got an hour at Harvey K.
All right, folks. So tune in, check it out. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. Now stick around. Pete Schwabba, Nightlight, coming up next.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Earl Ingram.
It's the Earl Ingram Show. Hope you're staying warm. I'm excited to have my good friend Sandy Williams here to discuss today's news.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 till 10.
the Badgers.
Feeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Fade.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk, Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump and India's Prime Minister Modi holding a joint press conference following a closed-door talk that centered on trade. The president praising the partnership, he says, between India and the U.S.
We have great unity. We have great friendship. He and I and our countries. And I think it's only going to get closer. But it's very important that we remain united as countries.
U.S. trade partners will face matching tariffs on duties imposed on U.S. goods. President Trump signing the reciprocal tariff. ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump and India's Prime Minister Modi holding a joint press conference following a closed-door talk that centered on trade. The president praising the partnership, he says, between India and the U.S.
We have great unity. We have great friendship. He and I and our countries. And I think it's only going to get closer. But it's very important that we remain united as countries.
U.S. trade partners will face matching tariffs on duties imposed on U.S. goods. President Trump signing the reciprocal tariff executive order today, setting the stage.